I'm pretty sure that my dad saved my life not once, but twice. He passed away last year, and around the time of his funeral, I was having a really, really hard time. It hurt me a lot. The first time I was driving, and I was speeding. I was going, I think, 100 on like a 35 curve. I mean, it was stupid. I just heard my name, and I immediately hit my brakes, and right around the curve, I couldn't see, but there was a deer. And if I would have kept going the way I was going, I would have died. The second time, it was right after his funeral. I was home, and I had been drinking, and I wanted to be with him so bad. And I kept looking at my sleeping pills, and I kept thinking to myself, you know, if I just take this entire bottle, it'll be over. And just as I was walking up to get it, my phone goes off, which was weird because my phone is always on silent. I never turn the sound up. Well, I found out it was someone from my past that called. And the very first thing he said to me, he goes, "Are you all right? I just had the worst feeling that something bad was about to happen." Now, he didn't know that my dad had died. He didn't know a single thing. And I got to talking with him about it. And he told me, he said, "You know, I don't know why. I hadn't thought about you in a long time, but something told me I needed to call you now."
It's important to listen to those voices sometimes. It's not always just your gut. Sometimes I think it's something else or someone else that's there that still cares. That is going to help you through whatever you need to get through. It can be especially true sometimes when someone is nearing the end, when they are terminal with an illness of some sort, and they're getting close, and there's nothing that the living can do to reverse that or change that. That is sometimes the recipe where we see loved ones return. That's where we sometimes see what sometimes is written off as, oh, their mind is just starting to go. But is it really starting to go when, in fact, the living who are not in that state are also beginning to experience paranormal activity as well? Yeah. It can be very, very compelling. We're going to start off the show today with a story about just that. Family that's going through loss, a family that's preparing for a loss, and an individual that's preparing to pass on. And the deceased loved ones have come back to help with that preparation. Also, do you believe in werewolves? Not to go completely off topic, but do you believe in werewolves? One man gets the confirmation that will forever change his beliefs. That's in our second story on today's episode. Can the kinetic energy of an abuse victim turn a quiet home into a haunted one? That's another one that begs a lot of questions. And can be very relatable, especially if you have kids. And who says you can't go home? What do you do when spirits return to the place they called home that they don't want you there? They want to just be back in their home, and they're back, and they created that feat, and you're in their way. Some great stories on today's episode. It's EPP number 247 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name is Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. One of the most difficult things, in my opinion, I think, to deal with in life is when a loved one begins to deal with dementia. It's a time where it's obviously very confusing for them, but it's also confusing for those around if they're not equipped mentally with the tools of how to handle a loved one that is slowly losing themselves, losing sense of who they are, where they are, what they are. It'd be very, very difficult, a difficult time. One thing that we do see quite often in this window in one's life is the emergence of visitations from deceased loved ones, friends, family that have passed for quite some time. suddenly become very vivid in the minds of some that are suffering with dementia. And it's often just written off as, oh, they're suffering from dementia. Just ignore it or just play along because that's all it is. Is it always just that, though? Is it always just the mind that's playing reruns and messing with the individual that's suffering? Or could it be that because that person is getting closer and closer to the other side, some of these individuals are in fact making visits to that loved one, preparing them for what's about to happen? You can make arguments on either side, and I think each case has its own set of evidence that would need to be looked over to say this is this or this is that. But there's many cases where I think the situation can be judged as there's something paranormal going on here, something beyond just a mind that is slowly falling down. In our next story, we hear about a case like this where a loved one is suffering from dementia. And not only do they begin to get visits from deceased loved ones, so do the living loved ones around them. Really, really makes for the case of there's someone else visiting here. It's not just in someone's mind. Take a listen. I was born and raised in a small island in Alaska called Barnoff Island. Most folks don't realize that Southeast Alaska is a very rainy and wet rainforest, rich in culture and history. The town I'm from is an island community of a whopping 8,000 people called Sitka. The island Barnoff is a huge 100-mile radius, but our tiny community takes up only about a 15-mile stretch of road, and where we are surrounded by a vast mountainous forest on one side, the other side is the Pacific Ocean. When my grandma was in her late 80s, she began to succumb to dementia. My best friend moved back from Southeast Alaska to help my family care for our beloved matriarch. Grandma was a kind and grateful woman, but as her dementia progressed, she spent significantly more time talking to long-past relatives and seeing animals and disturbing scenes that were not there, nor happening. Kat, my best friend, moved into Grandma's house with her 4-year-old son, and she handled Grandma's episodes with the kind of grace and kindness that you can only hope a family member will receive in their end years. As time progressed in Grandma's home, Kat had more and more frightening episodes. There was one time where my very level-headed and logical friend saw a terrifying woman crawling along her bedroom floor. An even more frightening event when she went outside at night to the 2-story garage, which sat directly next to the front porch and backed up against a dark, wet rainforest woods. When the porch light flipped off and on and off again by itself. The light switches in that house were old and heavy and required effort to flip up and down. The light switches physically turned off and off again all by themselves, clicking loudly up and down each time. Kat suspected it was Grandma inside the house flipping the lights on and off. Upon getting back inside, however, she found her own son as well as Grandma in their beds sound asleep. Grandma reached a point in her dementia where she was safe in her home, but if she awoke at night, she would get perplexed. It's also known as sundowners. If Kat needed to run errands after Grandma was in bed, she could only be gone for a half an hour or so. I would have to stop up the sliding glass front door with a wooden block from the outside so Grandma couldn't get out if she awoke and was confused. One night, Kat needed to run to the grocery store about an eighth of a mile from Grandma's house. Kat put her young son into her truck, but remembered at the last minute that she needed her wallet. She left her son in the running truck and dashed back into the house to retrieve it. Now, Grandma's house faced that one main road, the one that's 15 miles long, but the house was backed very closely by dense, dark woods. The forest behind her house extended for miles and eventually stretches up a large, dark mountain. It's often frequented by enormous grizzlies and deer. The front porch faces the road. The back of the porch is about 10 feet from the forest. Kat returned to her truck only minutes later to find her son crying in the truck, telling her that he was so scared. He was 5, but he's a very sober and logical boy, like his mama, and was not at all prone to telling tales. She asked why he was scared, and he described a very tall, thin shadow man with extraordinary long arms and legs, which had strolled down their porch from the forest side after Kat had gone inside. And that's where we're going to pause this preview of EPP bonus episode number 247. If you want to hear the full thing and support our program at the same time, become an EPP, an extra podcast person of Real Ghost Stories Online. You'll hear the rest of this story and you'll get access to the rest of this episode, all of the stories that are going to be in there, plus access to all 247 bonus episodes. Yes, in their entirety, they're yours. You also get access to our regular episodes weeks before they go public. Get a free e-copy of our Amazon best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. And a whole lot more. You can do it at ghostpodcast.com. Just sign up there. Click become an EPP. $5 a month. Or through patreon.com/realghoststories. Same deal. $5 a month. Same access to everything. Just different interface. Whatever you prefer. Your support is greatly appreciated. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.